Welcome back to Totally Unrelated. I'm your host, Adrian Cosby, and we got a very special guest on the phone. It's my co-host, Jay Snyder.
Your best good friend, Jay Snyder. What's going on?
Oh, man, you know, I'm just sitting here trying to get this part two edited. Part one was one of our most popular downloads in the first couple hours, so thank you for everybody for sharing it and listening.
Right. Yeah, that was a good one, dude. I just got back from Iowa the other day.
Yes.
I didn't have a license, so I used my twin brother's license, and anyway, made it back, but I just went and got my license reinstated today, and feeling good, you know. I'm almost 40, got my license again.
Shit, you could get a paper route.
I might, I gotta do something, but that's, got my freshly reinstated license for our, newly added show at Wiley's Comedy Club Friday night at 9 p.m. for the Dayton's Most Wanted.
Yes. Right? Dayton's Most Wanted at Wiley's this Friday, October 21st at 9 p.m. Tickets are on sale now. Come out and support. It'll be me, Jay Snyder, and Nate Washington. And, you know, we'll be recording all night long, and that'll probably make it into the cast. It's going to be a party. I think we're having a DJ, too, so there'll be an after party. Come out before the show, come out after the show, come out for the show. It's going to be psychedelic. I don't know what that means exactly, but this is going to be the lineup that we've been waiting for since we first started doing comedy.
I'm so excited for it, yeah.
It was funny because, like, I got the call from Nate Washington. I was almost like, should I even answer this? And then, like, this voice in the back of my head was like, why wouldn't you answer a call from Nate Washington? I think I was just waking up.
It's not Nate. It's just a phone call nowadays. What? Why are you calling without texting me to tell me that you're going to call me first? What,
exactly. I need that text message that says, can you talk?
Yeah, well, I mean, what is this, the fucking colonial days where you just fucking pick up a fucking phone and call somebody?
I know. Yeah, you used to answer the phone and you'd be like, hello? Who is this? Yeah, it was like a total mystery.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for it, dude. I'm pumped up for it.
Yep. We're going to go ahead and lead right into this part two of, we'll call this one, The Wet Wet, and this is one of our only part two, or two-part episodes, but I hope you guys enjoy, listen, share, comment, like. That's how we grow this thing, and you know, we do this thing for free with no advertisers, just for you guys. I mean, let's be honest, it's mostly for us too, but it's sharing is caring, right? And so share with us. We'll care with you. Come out to the show on Friday. I'll be in Chillicothe tomorrow night. Jay, what else you got this weekend?
I got closing Dayton Funny Bone tomorrow night, Thursday. And then Wiley's Friday.
Jesus Christ. And then are you back at the Dayton on Sunday?
No. I'm closing the show at Columbus Funny Bone the following Wednesday.
The following Wednesday. Well, I'll be there for that. Yeah, I think, unless I'm out of town for something stupid. Yeah, thanks, Jay. Congratulations on your license. Let's try to keep it for a couple days, though.
Yeah, we're going to see. I'm going to try not to get a DUI tonight. So, at any rate, holla at you, boy.
All right, man. Holla at him.
Second row back that was fucking with me, not necessarily heckling, but kind of
just not helping
with me.
Yeah,
just fucking with me. And I fucking looked at him a couple times because I couldn't tell if they were table talking or what, but then it was obvious that he was fucking with me, but not in a way to where I could really even fucking deal with it, to where I don't think anybody else even noticed it. But he's, like, kind of making fun of my laugh. Or that's how I felt. Or maybe he just had a fucking stupid laugh of his own.
Right.
But I couldn't. It was in no point where I could be like, all right, look, motherfucker. because then it's just going to look like I'm fucking going off on somebody. So I just kind of muscled through it or whatever. And but they were a really older crowd, and very, there was a lot of older women, like tables of a lot of women. But like tonight, so Jake Johansson's from Iowa. So he hasn't been here for like 6 years, and so it's going to be a pretty fucking good show, so I'm expecting to have a good night.
Me too. I don't know who the headliner is here tonight. I think I looked it up a couple weeks ago, but the profile picture that they used for me for the club is the cover art for the cast.
Nice.
The picture you took of me with my arm around Abraham Lincoln.
Right.
Which is probably the single most liked picture I've ever had on social media.
Yeah, I really captured your essence in that one.
I'd say you stole it, but, you know, I'm over it now. I ain't all mad about it anymore.
Not you. You stole it. Remember we put it in the press?
Remember we got way less gas mileage. Shit, I almost threw my back out last night trying to move the merch table, and it was terrible because the guy... I mean, it wasn't terrible, but... We had to walk across the showroom, like we cut through basically half the audience to move a small tabletop that was like, you know, it was like a high top, but it was a small circle on the top and it had like a wrought iron base. So it weighed like 180 pounds. It really did take two people. But we had to like, you know, shuffle across the view of half the audience in front of the headliner to do it. And, that was embarrassing. But then I got out there and sold a couple t-shirts. I think I sold three or four t-shirts, which, man, selling four t-shirts at a show like that is awesome. And I did that State Theater, and you did that show, right?
Dillard show, right?
Well, I'll tell you, it was interesting. Dan puts this show on, Dan Dean, Midget Radio, Irish I Was Laughing Productions. Check it out. Been a guest on the cast, I've been a guest on his cast. Anyway, he went up, and I think he had it in his head that he had to do new material, and it's, I know that feeling. It was like, I was right there with him. And it's one of those situations where you're like, I know half the people in the audience have heard everything I've got, so you just try something different, you know, and your confidence isn't right there or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, you... In a situation like that, especially going first, you have to play to your own strengths, not what you think the audience wants to hear. You're really, as going first, what you're really doing is just laying down a drum beat. I've never been more aware of this, of just getting them to understand that the idea of a setup and a punchline and when to laugh. And once they've got those cues, it's time to pass it on. And Dan, some of his newer stuff is more evolved comedy. It's stuff that I'm like, yeah, man, you should be working on this, but not from the front spot. And it was funny, but it was like to the comics who were like, could see the parts were laughing. And I think the audience was kind of like, oh, it was slow to warm up. And then...
How long did he do?
Well, that's hard to say. I want to say he did 10 minutes, but it might have been 15.
I think when I did it, I think he did about 25 or 30 up front.
Did he go up in between?
I don't think so.
So he didn't do any material in between us or anything like that, but he did bring us all up on stage.
Yeah, he brought us all up, but he didn't...
squeeze anything?
Yeah, he didn't squeeze anything. But
how many people were on your show?
It was a lot. About six?
Yeah, it wasn't that many on this one. It was he went up, and then Jay Armstrong, and then me, and then Katrina Brown. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I got that wrong, man. It was him, then Rob Wilfong, then Jay Armstrong, then me, then Katrina Brown. And man, Rob Wilfong is fucking hilarious, dude. A guy that I think I met when I first started doing comedy, and... When I first saw him, he didn't do well for the audience, and I didn't get it. And then the next time I saw him, I was like, oh, I got to go after this guy. This is going to be easy. And when I say, I still had tears in my eyes from laughing when I had to go up on stage, and I got up there and realized there's no way I'm following this guy. There's just no way. I'm not even remotely going to give the audience what he just gave them. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do was follow him. And I did it one other time where I actually headlined a show where he went up right before me, and I figured out, you know, you just got to reset the stage and do your thing and not be worried about what happened before.
If it's his audience, dude, it's fucking killer, but like everybody, you know, I've seen him go up, like we all have, in our own sets, go up and struggle. I think that he's better, like, when, not in the one spot. Anytime after that, where once they get warmed up, but I think it's just too much for him right off the gate to fucking try to wrap their mind around what the fuck he's doing.
That's true.
How would you explain his act to
somebody who's never seen it? So what I would say is that there's probably several different adjectives to describe the different types of stand-up. You know, once you get into the realm of, like, stand-up comedy, you know, you have the observational comic, you know, the Jerry Seinfeld, the kind of person who can be funny standing still, right? And then you have the more physical type comedians that are, like, moving around or maybe even use props to
Robin
get...
Robin Williams.
The Robin Williams or the Carrot Tops even or whatever. Just the type of person that the comedy is very physical as well as spoken. And then you got a guy like Rob Wilfong, who is, I would say, the closest thing you could compare it to is like a more modern version of Howie Mandel, but there's not really...
Kind of Mitch Fatale. Do you remember who Mitch Fatale is?
Yeah, but Mitch Fatale is a lot less animated than Rob is. Rob's got like a physical component to what he's doing in that... And what's funny about Rob is he's got... pearls of wisdom about performance that a lot of guys don't even think about. You know what I mean? Like, Rob's thinking about things because of the way he does his act that a regular Jerry Seinfeld type of guy would take him years to figure out because there's not a lot of physicality to what's going on. Like, I've just recently realized that, like, I could get laughs with blinking or moving my eyes side to side. Basically, Rob's much more of a physical act, and it's an amplification of who he really is, but so much so that, like, you could watch him do 30, 45 minutes, and then you'd go out after the show to meet the headliner or whatever, meet him, and you would have no idea who you're going to deal with, you know what I mean? If he was that guy all the time, it's like sometimes I don't know if he's getting laughs because people believe he is that guy, and to some degree he is that guy.
Yeah, I think I would agree. And a fucking good dude, man.
Super
funny,
nice
dude, man. He's a funny dude, man. I'm doing a show for him in a couple weeks.
Won't book me.
What's that?
I said he won't book me for anything, but. He did book me for a show one time, and I spilled a drink on myself as he was introducing me to the stage, and it was not my crowd, but it was an interesting lesson in going on stage with a plastic cup, which I will never do again.
All right. And that's why I always prefer a brown bottle.
Well, listen, I learned that a tall can... You drink it about halfway down, and then that way, if it spills, the paper bag that you have wrapped around it will soak up most of it.
It'll act like a man pond and actually absorb most of the that's something I did last night, dude. I did a shot before the show, and then drank a beer on stage, I've been doing a lot better instead of doing the traditional 8 shots and fucking 3 beers before I go on stage.
I dare somebody to send 8 shots on one tray up here to me. Like, I'm just trying to boost the bar sales.
But it was good. Which last Thursday when I was in Richmond, that's when I fucking tanked. I had what I would consider like the perfect buzz going, which to most people would probably be a fucking hell of a night out.
Right.
But then I got shots sent up to me from the audience members. So I got two shots and two beers sent to me from the audience, and I didn't need it, and I fucking knew I didn't. But anyway, so last night I was like, I'm just gonna fucking I gotta it can't just be about the fucking party anymore. I gotta fucking, I'd drink some after I got off, but
I switched to beer.
Have control.
I switched to beer exclusively. Stopped drinking scotch, which was what I drank exclusively, except for when I drank beer. And, but yeah, I switched to, and then I also realized that, like, two beers, and I'm good. Especially if it's, like, one of these IPAs, or when I was drinking Fat Tire last night. In fact, last night I think I had three, but two of them were comped, and then I had to buy one or whatever, and that was nice, you know, but it's basically, one of those situations where I try to only have one beer before I go on stage at the most. And if I can take that first beer on stage with me and then have a beer after, cool. But what's been happening more often than not is I've been getting there a little bit early and having a whole beer and maybe even something to eat. And then I'll take a beer on stage with me, which I don't drink when I take it on stage because, you know, it's like you're talking. There's no time to be drinking. But I don't need a drink when I'm on stage. My mouth doesn't get dry, so I'd rather not take it up with me. So I think that's going to be the new thing. And the other thing I've noticed is I get a buzz from beer that I didn't get from scotch. Like, I drink scotch. I don't know how many times I've drank a half a bottle of scotch and didn't feel drunk.
See, I've never been a big scotch drinker. But that's more of like a sipping.
Yeah, yeah. I did a shot of Fireball with Charlie Wiener.
With Charles?
With old Charles Wiener.
I haven't been drinking the Fireball, which I say that, but I did, when I got back here last night, I had a brief kind of high-stress situation with the wife, soon-to-be ex-wife, one day. And I was like, yeah, so I went to the bar down over here to the hotel, and I was like, what do you got? And I was like, bucket, double Fireball.
Right.
And the guy goes, that's more than a double, that's like a triple.
Well, I said double, and you can't pour it back, that's state law.
Yeah, and so, it wasn't a triple. I'm just looking at him like, dude, you know, motherfucker, I can tell you right now.
Right.
I can tell you right now. I don't even have to look. I can fucking dip my finger in it. You don't know what the level of alcohol is.
Pull out a jeweler's loop and you're like, well, that's funny you should ask because I'm from the Alcohol Inspection Pouring Agency.
It's a funny jeweler's loop, but it's really just, it's clearly just the bottom of a beer bottle busted up.
With a bank pen cord on it, you know, those beaded cords. Just, yes, this is...
Yeah. Okay, well, let me pull my beer goggle out and fucking, see.
So, I had a little Fireball in your history a little sooner than you thought. I'll tell you, man, I really, for the people that are devoted listeners of the show, know that I stopped drinking Fireball after the Chris Kattan week through Ohio, and which ended in Liberty with us polishing off, like, all the Fireball that they had in the club and at a couple other locations.
I think that at the club, the number they said was 15 shots each is a little excessive, guys.
Oh, god damn, dude. Dude, that night, I was amazingly lucid all the way through, even to the point of, like, puking my guts up into that trash can. And you know it's bad when you have to, like, empty the trash can a couple times. And the trash can was mesh, so it was hard to fill up.
Still, yeah, room service, yeah. Can you bring me a carpet shampooer up here? I'm going to need this sometime today. Anyway, and also, Anybody that can cornrow my pubes.
I need a try. I don't know. It's not amateur hour up here. I don't want anyone at Barbasol Beauty College trying to come up here and practice for their exam.
Did you say cornrow your pubes? Yeah, I'm going with the Shaka Khan tonight. I don't know if that's a thing or not.
I watched a guy, a comic this morning. I turned on Comedy Central. I can't remember his name. But he actually unbuckled his pants and started acting like he was tucking in his pants like an old man, like his dad. And I thought, oh, man, that's a disgusting, hilarious bit. But, like, watching somebody just put their hand down their pants like that was unsettling.
It's hard when you can't get your dick out quick enough.
Oh, man. And then I was listening. That's true. That's a problem that's plagued mankind since the beginning of time. But then I was listening to Bert talk about being on... what's it called? The Shield. He had a guest spot on The Shield, and the part he was playing was a peeping Tom. And so he said he went to the window, and he was looking through the window or whatever, and he had on like this jumpsuit or whatever. So he put his hand into the jumpsuit and started playing with his dick. He was like, nobody could see me playing with my dick, but I'm like peeping Tom. I'm watching two people have sex or whatever. So when the cop rolls up, the lady cop gets out, and she's pissed off because she, like, they had to cut the scene because. She's like, he's playing with himself, you know, like that wasn't part of the scene or whatever.
And I'm a method actor, goddamn.
Exactly. But then they were like, okay, they pulled him aside and they're like, listen, we like where you're going. We like what you're doing. We like the direction you're taking. I think this is what they said to him. But basically they're like, we're going to keep her out of the scene for as long as possible. So just keep doing what you're doing. He's like, but then it was like, you know, 30 seconds, a minute. He's like, now I'm getting like halfway hard. He's like, I hope they call cut before I fucking bust a nut.
dude, I'm going to be with him in Dayton in 2 weeks.
Over my birthday.
November what?
His birthday's the day before mine, I think, the 3rd. Mine's the 4th.
Where are you at that week?
I don't even know. I'm nowhere to be found, probably.
You
know what? I just picked something up for the 5th, but for the 4th, I'll be around.
Yeah, you gotta come and hang out. We'll probably be able to crash at the condo or something.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming down for that. I'll be there for that Friday. Hell or high water, like me or not. I just picked up a Fallout for the 5th in Sturgis, Michigan, which we all know is a hotbed for comedy. Multiple bookers seek that city out.
Yeah. I haven't done that one. I don't think I've done that one.
I'm doing it for Funny Business. I've done it for Sabo. And that's the room where they were like, they're like, we were going to play a trick on you when you came out on stage. And I was like, oh, yeah? And this isn't even the weirdest part about this show. But he was like, yeah, we were going to play a trick on you. We were going to have all the house lights off, you know, and the stage light and just the spotlight for the stage, just real bright. So when you come out, you can't see anybody. And then we were going to turn on all the lights and everybody was going to be wearing a Klan hood.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no. I like the audience to be funny too.
I was like, when do we get to the joke part?
Yeah.
But the headliner that night was a comic who's got no arms and no legs.
Yes, I remember you telling me about this. But you know what? I've seen this dude. I've seen memes of this motherfucker.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I forget what it was. Not in a good light.
Hey. He was super friendly, super nice, and killed it.
Super itchy.
Yeah. He had a scratcher with him. Her name was
her
Linda.
Her name was Lucy.
We both went L. He crushed, whereas I struggled. It wasn't my audience, and it was a really light audience. I think there was like 20 people in a place where there's normally 80. And
did you say, like, look, these aren't my people. I need to look out, and they're all quadriplegics.
It was no applause breaks. No applause breaks at all. It was... Disheartening. But this one's different. So this is Funny Business. That was Sabo. And we'll see. No hotel, so I'm living the high life.
Right. The I picked up Thursday. I'm closing. They're doing the showcase at Dayton, so I'm closing that out, which I think is the only thing I have next week. So I really need to fucking try to find something.
Why you bullshitting? I actually think I'm at Dayton November 6th.
On the Sunday?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, because Bert's not there that night. What are you featuring?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm wondering if I'm headlining that motherfucker. I'm just getting bumped off the show totally.
Yeah, we're going to give it to... Who can we give that spot to? How about Ken Bone?
Dude, I just wish people would call him Ken Bonus instead of Kenneth Bone. Ken Bonus.
Ken Bone. That is actually better.
That'll be a fucking fun. That'll be a fun show. I need to text Megan and see, because I asked when I was supposed to be there next week with Mike Malone, then it got switched to Nick Griffin, and then Lavelle came in, they canceled Nick Griffin, and then moved me to Burke. And I was like, yeah.
Yahtzee. That's
cool. And then, so then I texted Megan, I said, look, if Burke's not there, one of the nights can I headline? And, you know, if he's not there on Friday morning, I'll do the Hot Topics and all that for, you know, try to make his press runs or whatever.
Yeah.
He's there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That'll be a fun one. Last time I saw him when we were in Columbus together, because you were coming in from Cleveland, right? Yeah.
Yep.
We all went out and fucking hang out and we rescued people and...
No, the rescuing happened the next night, I think, didn't it?
That was on Sunday. Yeah, but remember he had rearranged his flight so that we could all go out and party and shit. And we did.
That's right.
We went over to that fucking GameWorks or whatever across the hall.
That was the same night we hung out with Bert?
No. No, it was the next night. It was the Sunday.
Oh, you're right. You're right. That Saturday we hung out with Bert.
Bert and Chad Daniels and I don't even remember.
And then the
Australian dude.
Here's the funny thing about that, because I was going to bring this up. I think I've seen this Australian dude around town.
That would not surprise me.
Is he like an Ohio State student, or did he say he came in just for the show, or what?
He said he came in from a show. He said he flew into like Detroit and then rented a car and fucking came to Columbus just to see the show, which was pretty... far-fetched. No, I think that he actually came in for a wedding in Michigan or something, and then saw that Bert was going to be there, so then he came in or whatever.
I thought I saw him at the Funny Bone a couple weeks ago, and then I thought I saw him just the other day when I was jogging in this park, and he was riding a bike. And I don't even know, you know, all white people look the same to me, so I don't know. But it was one of those things where it's like, there was something not right about the guy, and he could have been just, like he would say, pissed drunk, but when he said something one time, they were talking about Madison Square Garden, he was like, what's that? And I was like, it's kind of like our Wembley Stadium. And then he looked at me again like, yo, well, what's Wembley Stadium? I'm like, look, if you can't latch on to another nation's cultural fucking reference, then I can't help you, bro. You know, like, if it seemed to me like he was playing a little too dumb.
I kind of thought that as well. But I just kind of wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, well, you know, what I realize about it is that I would never, like, fake an accent or say I was from somewhere I wasn't from. But when I was younger, I definitely stretched the truth in order to make what I thought to make friends. And I'm talking about, like, junior high.
Right. By saying you're from Yellow Springs and you really live in Fairborn and shit like that.
Exactly. when I lived in California when I was in seventh grade, I was really into skateboarding. And one time we got to do like I don't know what they were filming for a commercial or they were just taking pictures or whatever, but they needed skateboarders to come to the skate shop and hang out and skate and just, you know, kind of, and then we got like stickers and we got like pizza and all this other stuff. So and I think we got a deck. I think we actually like got a deck too. From the skate shop. They were like skate shop decks or whatever. And so when I moved to California, that turned into I was sponsored as a skater. You know what I mean? Like that experience stretched the truth into the fact that I was sponsored and that I had done some contests when in reality I had never even seen a skateboard contest, I think, at that point. I mean, I was better than the guys I was skating with when I first got there, but it only took me like a day to find like skaters that were infinitely better than me that were like, yeah. I think my experience of being in California for the first couple months was people wanting to beat me up. A lot of older guys wanting to beat me up. And what's funny is I didn't realize it at the time, but I realized it when I was thinking about this the other day. I was literally just thinking about this on my way to Michigan yesterday. Was that nobody ever tried. Nobody ever took a swing at me or even talked enough shit to me to make me even think that they wanted to fight me. And I was in seventh grade and they were like high schoolers and shit. And if I had realized that at the time, I would have been so much more cocky instead of so insecure, because I was like devastatingly insecure.
Hold on, did I lose you again?
No, I'm here.
All right.
It's funny though how you do the same thing in comedy. You stretch the truth when you first start in comedy. It's like being a kid all over again. You know, I remember hearing stories from people that were running open mics, and you know, like the gatekeepers when you first start seem so advanced in the game when you first start at comedy. It only takes you a year to realize they're just like you and full of shit.
Right. Yes, that's exactly right. But they got you for a minute.
They get you for the first couple of weeks, man, and they might even if they're some guys really do progress. But if the thing I've noticed is that if you're running a show on a weekly basis, it's really hard to go after other things. It's almost like having a mistress and a wife. Something's gonna lose. You know, somebody's losing out unless everybody knows about each other and they all get along perfectly. Something's getting lost in translation. You're either working too hard with the mistress or you're working too hard with the wife and the mistress falls away or whatever. You can't satisfy enough. And Brian Million's the one that said that to me one time, except he said, chase two rabbits, both get away. Hit me with it. Hit me with it when I was playing soccer and still doing stand up. And that was basically, you know, he's like 108 years old. So he's wise.
You're right. The fuck, does he carry a staff and fucking that turns into a snake and parts seas and fucking.
Now that you mention it, I could really see him with a staff and a wizard's hat and a robe. That'd be a
Not
good
just because
look
it's
for
that
him.
time of year.
He could be Brian Millennion.
Dude, I'm so curious if I'm headlining the Thursday.
Well, we'll figure that out. We'll figure that out here in a few minutes. That might be a high potentiality for us to try something brand new.
Swinging.
Well, yeah. Well, remember when we did that? When we were going up to people's doors, knocking like random doors with our pants off and asking if we could do stand up for them.
Yeah, asking if they'd watch us fucking with our fire sticks. Yeah, I remember. Our Twizzler
I had a payday for a penis, would you look down at it?
Yeah. Our dicks look like the inside of a rifled fucking shotgun barrel. Just fucking twisted and fucking.
Rusty. It was buried in the dirt, okay? No, we could do, I don't know, but it could be a chance for us to do a game.
Right? Yeah, I would be cool with that.
I've been working on two concepts. I don't know if I should mention them on the podcast. I probably shouldn't because they're not fleshed out. But I have one where it kind of requires, both of them require, you know, both of us, you know, or a situation. I think it could be replicated with any two people, but, you know, we would be the color. It requires somebody like kind of on stage as a moderator and then somebody going out in the audience and putting a mic in people's faces. So,
that'd be cool.
Yeah. That's an interesting kind. Well, that gives me something to work towards. I like having goals.
That's one of us.
Well, listen, we can't all be perfect. Or maybe none of us can be perfect.
Yeah.
Except for Donald Trump. Know. Donald Trump's perfect. And Trump we trust.
If I am headlining, I don't let my feature sell unless I'm selling, and I'm probably not going to be selling, so.
Okay, Benji. I might actually have to bring some merch for you.
Fuck. I'll see if Doug Morgan will let me sell his shirts.
I took college T-shirts. T-shirt.
Dude, I really like the I took GED fucking shirt. I think it's fucking. If he would sell both of those, I took GED.
Yeah, well, I think. I think they're both fucking brilliant, and I think they sell. It's almost like if you don't buy, like, I get it, this isn't for everyone. Maybe you need this shirt. It's such a gotcha that, yeah, that's brilliant. It's almost like he could theoretically, that idea, that concept for a t-shirt is so strong, it's literally made him want to become a better comic, I think.
Yeah, dude, he is fucking, dude, he might be the most, if we were giving out fucking awards at the end of the school year, that would be the most improved, hands down. Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to say that, though, because, I mean, it's not hard to say that. It's definitely true. He has improved a lot over a very short period of time, but it's also been a very long period of time. I mean, Doug, there's guys that I know that, like, when I started, I was like, how do you get to be that funny? That started because they saw Doug. And we're like, I'm funnier than that motherfucker. And, I mean, these are his friends, and this is no mystery, or no secret, I should say. But it was one of those things where it was like, what I admired about Doug from day one was his, I don't know, kind of like just really religious idea about what he wanted to do and what he thought was funny. And it wasn't until he kind of divorced, I don't know if he divorced it or whatever, if he just grew into it, but he is almost unrecognizable. Other than the fact that you know it's Doug Morgan. You know what I mean? Like, compared to where he was 2 years ago. So, yeah, I can say that he has improved vastly. But it's almost like, man, I'd see him from time to time murder. Straight up murder. But it was just like every 15th show or something like that. He would...
Yeah.
Dude, I watched a video of him at the Falcon Club one time, and I was like, I can't believe this dude's not on TV.
Dude. The last few times that we've done, because we don't do a lot of shit, and that's the thing about him, he's not doing a shitload of shows a year anymore, you know?
Right.
The last, he featured at the Funny Bone, and fucking dude, when I mean, I tell you, this motherfucker blew the roof off the fucking place. I had the legitimate thought, like, I am not going to be able to fucking follow this shit.
Oh, was that a couple Sundays ago?
Yeah, September 11th. We did, like, the 11th and 14th or something like that, or the 8th and the 11th or something like that. And, I mean, he fucking... ripped it, dude. I've had that thought the last handful of times that that he's featured and I've headlined. I was like, God damn it, dude. Why the fuck did I bring your ass to do this shit? But whatever, you know, it's just...
Who MC'd?
What's that?
Who MC'd?
Brock MC'd the night that Doug featured, and then Chris Seymour featured the Sunday, and Doug MC'd.
How did they do?
Good. I mean, it was good, dude. I mean, really promoted the fuck out of the show. And, you know, we probably had 175.
Not bad.
Or so each show. And it was good. And, you know, I didn't really do material. It was all just pretty much crowd work. And then when that wasn't hitting, then I would sneak it. So I was doing crowd work and then sliding a joke in here and there. But if nobody had seen my set, they would think that the joke was just crowd work also. But it was a fucking great way to... it's a good exercise, dude. So I just, you know, it's my home club. Been there so fucking many times. And I don't have a ton of new material, so I didn't want to just fucking go up and go through the motions again. So... just fucking went there and fucking had fun with it. Dude, it's some of the funnest shows that I've ever had.
I wonder, like, I don't know. When was the last time I featured for you?
What is it?
I said, when was the last time I featured for you?
Probably Toledo, right? Remember we did those, you came up to Toledo and I stayed at your hotel one night. Oh, we remember we made a podcast where we were nearly going to beat the fuck out of each other on it.
Oh, I had completely forgot about that. What was that? What had happened? Oh, no. I stayed in your hotel. It was,
You got me, buddy?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, kinda.
I can hear you perfectly, and I've got, like,
there you go.
My shit says 1X. That's how bad of a signal I'm getting in here. Right. I moved it closer to the window. I'm in an interior room, but, like, I can see the pool from where I'm at.
Oh, that's a nice pool.
Yeah, it's not bad. Well, actually, I can't really see the pool. I can see the back of the pool, so, yeah. But, you know, for a black guy, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
What were we talking about right before that?
You asked the last time that you featured in my headline, I think.
Okay, yeah, no. So what had happened was Nadia called you for the feature spot, and then...
No, I was headlining, like, the Wednesday. It was, like, a Wednesday-Thursday. No, you were on... Were you on both shows? Because one of them was an open mic.
I did do both shows... but I was only booked for one, the Thursday. So we did, that open mic was a shit show, dude. Remember that chick got up on stage and then got off stage and was talking shit to everybody?
Yeah.
That was crazy, dude. I can't believe I completely forgot about that. You're right. No, what had happened was you had the hotel. I stayed with you, and I featured for you that Thursday. Just did the open mic on that Wednesday.
No, you got a hotel the night. You got a hotel the first night because remember the Hilton was sold out that night.
Where did we stay?
Like two exits down at a Hampton.
Dude, your memory's way better than mine. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Well, it was one of those. You know how we book sometimes.
Yeah.
It was a long night.
Yeah.
So, but the second night was just a regular show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was. You're right. It was. Re-posted. It was. That was where we came up with the catchphrase where we would say something like, hey, do you like green beans when you're eating like baked ham? Yeah. Hey, Nadia, Jay said he wants me to do a guest set.
Oh, fuck, dude.
That was the funniest... That was the funniest, like, that was that one, and what was the one we did on the way to, Alabama that one time.
Oh, that was the fun one. That was the Beats by Dre, and yours was, what was yours? Beats by Dre never paid off.
Never paid off. I can't remember.
Yours was, shit, what was yours? Fuck, I can't remember.
Yeah, man. That was, and you know what's funny about that trip was, like, we didn't even barely drink.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. Yeah, not at all. I mean, yeah.
I mean, we had, like,
Long Island at the thing, but
nothing about that gig was fun except for cashing the check.
The road trip was.
Oh, yeah, no, the road trip, that's what I mean, like, the gig itself. The gig was,
oh,
like,
I hated it.
The minute we walked in the building, we stopped having fun, and the minute we walked out of the building, fun began again.
Oh, it was rough. And the company we had wasn't ideal.
No. No, that's right. I thought that was somebody. For some reason, I thought I was with Sabo when I was with him last, but it was you. And, yeah, that was, he is a nightmare. And he's not even a bad guy. He's just one of those people that's so unaware of how, like, obtrusive and stinky breath he is that it's just like, and he only talks about himself. He'll ask you a question just so he can talk about himself for 30 minutes.
Yeah. He exhausted me. So I know that, like, you crashed. I think I sat outside by myself and drank another beer. And then I came in and I was like, all right, dude, I'm crashing, man. And he's like, oh, really? And, like, kind of took it personal. Like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, you take it personally? Then it's because of you.
Yeah. Yeah, motherfucker, yeah. I got 8 beers left, so trust me.
It's you.
It's you. I mean, yeah. I'm still going to drink these beers. I'm just going to lay down while I do it.
Well, buddy, I like to lay down and drink in bed, so unless you want to keep me warm.
Oh, fuck.
He probably would. He probably would. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I don't mind laying down in bed with you drinking a beer.
Yeah. I'll be Big Spoon.
Yeah.
it was a fun road trip, though.
What happened in Toledo? That was the last time we really worked together like that. But we also did, was that after Catan?
Yeah, that was well after Catan.
Okay.
That was, well, maybe not well after, maybe a month or two. Because that's probably been 3 or 4 months. If not a little longer.
I'll tell you, man, it feels like it was 2 years ago, and it was literally the beginning of summer.
Yeah. Well, I know that the last night we had got, we got wet, and then we got lifted pretty good, and then tried to record a podcast, and it was, everybody involved was pretty much out of their fucking minds.
Yeah. I remember now why I don't remember.
But I don't remember what happened in between.
When,
on each other and
I remember trying to set up a roast battle scenario that just sort of turned into like slam fest slash not even slam fest, like mean fest or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so now we're just going to say mean things about each other.
Yeah. I was going to say truthful things before, but it was going to be with a smile. Now it's just fucking, oh, man.
I don't remember why I thought, I think it was like we were trying to record a podcast and it was not working. It was like, one, wasn't the right time, wasn't the right place. Too many people sitting there, nobody with the ability to really carry on a conversation. And that was a lesson.
The venue, I was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And anyway, dude, maybe the next day, the first thing I was like, yes, what the fuck are you doing with that podcast? He goes, that's going into the vault.
I don't know if I still have that. I wonder if I do. That would be, not worth listening to. Somebody would have to have died for me to go looking for that to see if I still have it. I don't even know if I named it. In fact, I think I deleted it, like, because it was taking up so much space. I mean, we talked. We might have been recording live for an hour. Hour or two.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember leaving that venue.
I have one.
Oh, remember we went to the hotel and I fucking, I called you. I was like, they locked me out. And then I had seen that they, like, no, you can still use your fucking card. But I didn't.
Yeah, right as you were calling me, you were like, I had my hand on top of the thing.
You were coming out to open the door and I was like, oh, I see, okay. But I was so fucked up that I didn't know how to get back in the hotel. I was like, nah, I guess this hotel's just closed.
Oh well, just sleep in the middle.
But I remember waking up the next day and you were, I think you were taking me over to the club, and I remember vomiting at least 4 or 5 times out in the parking lot, which is very fucking rare for me.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you this though, Jay, I think and there's too many times to count, to be honest, which is rare, because I was thinking about this the other day. You're like one of the only people where this happens. Like, if you don't text me back or I don't hear from you for a couple days, I'm like, I guess we're not friends anymore. But
that was my best good friend.
That was my best good friend. I guess he got killed in NAMM. The time where I was like, okay, I gotta be careful when I'm with this motherfucker because we don't tell each other no, was the time we were in
Columbus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh God. And that was one of those things where we showed up. I didn't think it was going to be a good show. Turned out to be a fantastic show. We both ripped it. I took my merch on stage and didn't pitch it because it went so well and I went long a little bit. And the drinks were free. And
yeah,
then, like, at the very end of the show, somebody was like, you wanna burn a little? And I was like, oh, all right. I might have hit it like once or twice. And the next thing I know, like, I don't know how much time passed. I'm sitting in the driver's seat of the car, puking all over the sill of the car. Oh, thank God this is happening here and not like while I'm down the road or whatever. Because I didn't really feel fucked up. I was just sick than a motherfucker. And then you were like, let's go across the street and get a hotel. There's a Red Roof Inn right over there. We'll just split it. It'll be fine. And I was like, I got this.
I got this. We wiped this shit out the corner of my mouth. We wiped this fucking chorizo off my fucking...
I'll tell you, man, it was like having water splashed in my face. I don't know if it was the puke splashing back up into my face that sobered me up or whatever, but I really got it out of my system. We got right back on the road. We were fine.
We did a lot of shots that day.
We did a lot of shots that night and chased it with beer, which is not... At that time, dude, I don't think I had my drinking legs underneath me the way that I do. Probably not even... I probably don't have them anymore even today, but... That was like the beginning of me being like, I was still working out and running a lot, but I was like, if you're going to be a comic who gets paid in alcohol, because I think that's what that gig was, you're going to have to be able to handle it better.
Right. And it's really never just a good idea. And I've come from somebody that fucking drinks damn near every fucking day. Those gigs are usually not good. And I usually only get invited to do those one time. And then they're like, fuck, we should have just paid cash.
Exactly.
Didn't know he's fucking bringing Otis from the fucking Andy Griffith show, son of a bitch.
Soon as he walked in the door, he yelled out, y'all got Old Crow or what?
Up in this bitch.
I only drink bottom shelf.
Yeah, give me some of that good.
I need that wet, wet.
No.
That wet, wet fucking, from the well.
Yeah, that bottle just says liquor. It's two words. It's fucking The that was a dandy one.
This might be a two-parter, buddy. I think we're pushing the limits of good taste on this one.
Yeah, we're pushing damn near 2 hours on this.
Holy snaps. I turned away from the voice recorder. Yeah, good Lord. Well, let's see if we can squeeze another 15 to 30 minutes out of it so we can make it a two-parter. The idea that I have for the show would be one, you know, you already heard my idea, Are You Smarter Than a Jay Snyder? But I think that should be like, I think we, for copyright reasons, we might have to add some words to it, like, are you more smarter than a Jay Snyder?
Oh, I like that. Ooh, that sounds smart.
Right? Intelligent. And then the other one I have is Roulette Karaoke, where like somebody names a genre of music, you know, you could be like classic rock or whatever, and then you do like a random search in a karaoke machine for that song, and then the person has to sing that song without any lyrics being presented to them. You know what I mean? And it's not the type of thing, it needs some refinement, because it's like, well, I'll tell you the genesis of that game is Radio Roulette, which is a game I used to play with myself when I would be on long road trips when I worked in construction, because I would like drive home for the weekend in the middle of the night, and I would hit scan on the radio, and it was like at midnight where I would give myself points, but the points never added up to anything. If I knew the name of the song, I'd get points. If I knew lyrics from the song, and I would get like bonus points if I could sing the whole song out. But basically the radio is just scanning stations every 6 seconds, you know, and only plays a couple seconds of each station. So it's like roulette in that factor. And then like, you know, in the middle of the night, just trying to find a Journey song that you know a few words to in the heat of the battle with yourself.
I usually just masturbate.
That's how I've ruined a lot of cars. Not the inside, the outside.
That's how I ruined a lot of fucking radios.
Spuns are all sticky.
What the fuck? Yeah, I hit the scan button and all the buttons go in together.
It's like one of those kids' radios that has the fake buttons. You're like, your kid's not smart enough to realize these aren't all connected.
When I was in Boston, so we're at Tom Dustin's, you know, he's a big part of the Boston Comedy Festival.
Right.
And so one of the ladies, I know her brother, Jim McHugh, is the one that came up with the Boston Comedy Festival. Her name's Helen McHugh, sweetheart of a lady. But so she came over and there was probably 30 or 40 videos, submission videos that we needed to watch. These are the people that they were on the fence about.
Right.
So because she comes over and, you know, they do it every year. And I just happened to be there this year, so I got to...
Oh, yeah, I think we talked about this on the last cast.
Oh, did we? All right, well...
Maybe not the last one, but the one before that, actually.
Well, there's one guy, his name is fucking, I hope I'm getting this right, I think his name is Casey Crawford. This fucking dude is, he's like a one-liner guy, and he's so fucking funny, and it like takes a minute for the crowd to get him or whatever, but he opens up with one where he's like, all right, I'm lonely. He's like, you ever get lonely? So he says, I get lonely. He goes, you know, he goes, it's real bad when he goes, the other day I was talking to a homeless guy, and he was like, hey, man, well, I'm going to have to go. But then he has this other bit that I just want to say. He goes, life is full of mysteries. He goes, as an adult, you got to figure it out. He's like, I always wonder why the clock on my stove says 4:50. And why is my apartment so goddamn hot all the time? Oh, fuck, dude.
Why is my gas bill so high?
Oh, dude, his fucking timing is so good. Man, he is fucking funny.
That's hilarious, dude. That talking to a homeless guy, man. That joke, you just repeating to me that joke, I instantly got jealous of the wit of how simple that joke is.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm going to have to go. But something I learned from watching those submission videos is, first of all, the quality is so fucking important.
Dude, tell me about it. In fact, you're the one that reiterated that because I had a scorcher in Albany. I mean, it wasn't a scorcher, but for what it was, like, it was a great submission video because I could have been like, this room had 30 people in it, and you would have thought it had 80. You know what I mean? And and I set up the camera, and Steve goes a little bit long, so I go to reset the camera, and I realize instead of 29 minutes, I only have 20 minutes, which means it's running out of memory. I don't have enough time to reset the camera. And so I just hit record and set it back up there. And the whole fucking video's out of focus. Like, perfectly just blurry enough that you couldn't tell if I had a physical deformity on my face.
Yeah. Didn't know if this was just fucking footage of Bigfoot.
Right. Exactly. It's like, he's just walking by. I can't tell if he's funny. And I was like, I can't send this to anybody. All I could do is send the audio to somebody. And it was such a pain in the butt because I'm like... You know how rare it is that you set up a camera to record yourself and it's going well and then you remember in the middle of it, oh yeah, I'm recording this, thank God, and it still continues to go well?
Right.
That's a lot of factors that usually send me off into like a death spiral of not bombing. We both know I've never bombed. So.
Right. Just the one time to get it out of the way.
I just wanted to get it out of the way, and I was like, I may as well do this now because I want to know what it feels like. It's like the time I shot myself in the leg, just so I could know what it felt like. I was like, oh, now I've been shot. I've been shaped. Do you know what it's like to be shot? Well, I do.
I wanted to know what it felt like to be shot and get workers' comp.
Yeah, that's a magical combination right there.
But the videos, it's
submitting.
Immediately it's like, all right, this guy has a strike against him, and not even that you knowingly make a strike, but subliminally there's a strike.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah.
And then if you don't get a decent laugh within fucking quick, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, you know, chances of them making it through 3 minutes of that video is not good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important to me as a performer. Like, I want my first laugh within the first 30 seconds I step on stage. I mean, pretty much as quick as you can get it. And I think it's also probably the easiest way to do it because in that regard, all bets are off. You know, if that's what you need to do, I mean, I'm short of stealing somebody else's material, but... You know, a quick joke is a simple joke. It can still be a good joke, but it's like, yeah, why wouldn't you go for that? Like, I've seen people go up on stage and really, especially from the one spot, and just really settle into it, and as if they were a headliner. You know, like how Vince will go up sometimes and he'll be like, he'll make mouth sounds. He'll be like,
yeah. That's hard to pull off from the one spot.
Oh man, you're not. Everything about what Vince is doing is antithetical to what you're doing from the one spot. You're in the one spot, one, because, let's face it, that's where you deserve to be, if at all. Most people in the one spot don't deserve to be in the one spot.
Right.
But we grew up in a comedy culture that was very conducive to nurturing. We got a lot of spots... I don't know about you, because you started like well enough before me that when I started, you were on the bill as a touring comedian.
Right. A full-blown lie. Right. I had did some road gigs, pretty much. And, I got so fucking fortunate when I started because I would get into all these contests and shit. And I got lucky and won three of them that the payoff was an MC week. So within a year of doing comedy, I had won these contests, had MC weeks, and did well enough to where they were willing to book me back.
Yeah.
So So I got in really quick, or you know, quicker than most at that time, and just really built it up from there. But I was very fortunate to get in the way that I did.
Yeah, I remember like introducing you, like, this guy's just won funniest person in Dayton. He won funniest person in Cincinnati. He won funniest person in Columbus. This guy might be the funniest motherfucker alive. You know, or like something like that.
Another
bold-faced lie. I mean, the setup was all true. The punchline's got to be a lie. I got the similar situation. No, actually, you know what's funny about it is I didn't have any confidence at all when I first started. I say I still struggle with confidence at times, but I was like, I got to do this before I can ask for this. I have to get, you know what I mean? Like, I had to, like, at that time we had The Clash, and so that was kind of like, it wasn't like school for being a stand-up comic, but there was like some things happening in Dayton when we started that were like, if you did well in these things, then by all rights, you should be moving on to this next step or whatever. And The Clash was one of those things where if you placed in The Clash, that was a good thing. If you won one and you were going to be in the finals at the end of the year, then that was something that you had to prepare for and look forward to. And so, and then if you didn't win The Clash finals, there was still a good chance Doc was going to give you a shot. You could get a date.
Right, yeah.
And so I watched John. I didn't see him win, but I watched him in the finals. And he did terrible. And so did Nate Washington. And Kenny Carpenter won the first year I watched. And he won it in almost a walk. And then, but John got a week after that. And a couple other people got dates. I think Vincent Holiday got some dates after that. And or a date, you know. And so I knew, I was like, okay, well, if I do well in the finals, then at least I know I have a shot to ask for some time or whatever.
Yeah. And I've noticed that just exactly what you're saying is that, and it's even when I started, it's you don't have to win the contest to get work.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the people that got second and third on a lot of those contests were doing MC Weeks before I was.
Right.
And so I always, and I still tell people that, but it's, I don't think that they really, truly believe it. But, and also, a lot of times those people that get second and third go on to be much busier working comedians. And I think that's because a lot of times you get that fucking, you get the win, and you get a little complacent, especially if you get it too early.
Yeah, well, sure. That's definitely a component. I think what has people not be as successful as they want to be is a mixture of a lot of things. The biggest thing is timing. You know what I mean? It's like when you want it doesn't mean that's when the world wants you. You know what I mean? So
right.
It's like we all want it now. I mean, we all wanted to be headlining when we first started. But that's just it's not in the cards for most people. But I could definitely see a component of that. And I'm trying to think, like, I won every contest I ever entered. So I'm trying to think if there was ever a contest I got in where I didn't just win the whole thing in the first couple seconds of being on stage. And if those people...
Sometimes you didn't even have to go on stage.
Right, right. Sometimes I just, they'd be like, they'd announce my name and they would not stop clapping. So I'd eat my whole 5 minutes.
Motherfucker standing up, jumping up and down like the audience on Price is Right.
Yeah. Are we going to bid on this washing machine or what? I think there's something to that, but I also think like about guys that like I feel like in a lot of ways I got a lot really fast compared to like even we'll just say to you. You had probably 2 or 3 years of actually like learning and doing and performing and getting paid before I even started. And then it's not to say that I've caught up to you, but we're in the same school Whereas we both know plenty of people that started before us or with us that haven't graduated to, you know, middle school, which is probably where we are right now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
But it's not necessarily their aptitude. It's not because it's almost like in this business, it's not about taking a test to get passed. Even though there are some opportunities that are tests to get passed, most of the time it's just staying around long enough for somebody to fall out in a position where you can say yes.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. Oh, it's a ton of that, dude. Being in the right place at the right time, we've all got fucking gigs.
Dude, if it wasn't for being in the right place at the right time, we might be having this conversation with you in Des Moines and me in my basement. You know? I'm not on a funny bone gig right now, but I got that opportunity, that second opportunity with Stroop, 125% from just being at the right place at the right time. And do you remember, like, before we even went on stage, we were super excited because we got Rock on the Range?
Oh, yeah. Fucking greatest day ever already.
That was, like, the best day ever right there. And then I had a dirty little memory. Do you remember how we ended that night? You don't have to say it, but do you remember how we...
I was going to say it. Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say how we ended the night, but what happened before we took off to Dayton.
Man, so much crazy shit happened that day. It was almost like we lived, for me, in the way I normally live my life, we lived about a year and a half in that one day.
Well, we were doing shots of Jameson at fucking 10:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Because it was the fucking
Bert St. Patrick's Day, Bert's calling sick to work show. I was listening to him on the radio give away tickets to, like, offices that were like, look, if you shut down business, I'll comp you into the show right now. But you got to say yes. You got to get everyone in the meeting room. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so exciting. And I was just excited to watch. I was just excited to watch. But you know what's funny about that is I tell, you know, whenever people ask, like, how did you move through so fast? I was like, yeah, everything that you think you don't need right now, or like, you know, it's too soon for that. It's like, you actually do need it. You just, and it doesn't have to be great. You just have to be ready for when the opportunity comes. Don't be, you know, like, oh, I didn't bring my swim trunks. You know what I mean? That you got to always have swim trunks. And that show was a perfect example because I was dressed in like a green soccer jersey, I had on casual shoes or whatever, but I always have a crash dress kit in the car.
Always, dude. And that was, remember we left Dayton and I said, what would be ideal is if we get there and Stroop ask if you want to fucking host it. Which he did within 10 minutes of us being in the green room.
Right.
And we had a short, you know, we were there a few weeks before there doing like a little bit of construction work or whatever. So he knew us. We got to hang out a little bit with him then. And then, so it wasn't just him coming up asking basically a complete stranger, you know.
Precisely.
You know, which, and that had a lot, you know. Had we not have done that work, then who knows if that would have ever happened or whatever.
That's true. That's right. I forgot that had happened as well. And that, like, going out to dinner and drinks and everything like that. And you know what I realized in that moment? Like, I have this problem. I don't know if it's a problem, but it's what I do. Is that I talk to everybody like we've been friends forever. You know what I mean? And, like, because I straight up asked him. I was like, so what's up with Vince, man? Why didn't Vince headline that show? I was like, Vince headlines that show. Everybody still has their job. Nobody.
If me or Jay would have booked this, you said.
I didn't want to drag you into it for the public, but.
I was like, motherfucker, how many of you were you sneaking drinks all day? What the fuck is that?
That was hilarious. But you know, that night, just drinking with Todd and Skip and Stroop. And running through the mall trying to find the fucking... We thought we were so close. And we were about to die from freezing to death.
Oh, fuck. We ain't got time to grab a jacket. Just go.
Yeah.
Just go.
They thought we were smoking weed the whole time. That was the part that made it so uncomfortable for the first few seconds. I had to address it. I said right away, I was like, I know you guys think we were out there smoking weed. He was like, I said it! I was like, no, we almost died.
Yeah. Panicking. Fucking almost died of fucking nervous breakdown.
And I remember Stroop was like, what are you looking at? And you told him, you're like, we're looking at, you know, the Gap and Old Navy or whatever. He's like, all right, go to the first stop sign, make a left, go through two stop signs and make a right, and you'll be there or whatever. And I was like, wow, I can't believe he knows the area so well. And then I know the area that well now. It's not that complicated.
Trader Joe's. All right, which side is Trader Joe's on? It's on my right. All right, but we're in reverse though.
We're in reverse, and I have vertigo, so things are a little shaky.
Oh fuck, dude! I think we made our time. I'm gonna jump off here and what do I got? I got Dayton Thursday the 20th. So hopefully some motherfuckers come out to that shit.
Thursday, October 20th at the Dayton Funny Bone. Are you headlining that?
Yeah, headlining that, and then
who else is on the show?
It's like a showcase. You got like Brandon Miller. I saw Karen Jaffe's on it.
Oh, nice.
Mike Holinsky. I'll share it on my Facebook page again.
Awesome.
When are you gonna drop this?
This one I'm gonna chop into two, and I'll probably drop one. I might drop one this afternoon, but it's kind of late, so I'll probably do it tomorrow morning. And then I'll drop the second part either the next day or 48 hours after.
Awesome.
They'll both come out next week.
November 2nd, closing the Columbus Funny Bone, and then the 3rd through the 6th, Dayton Funny Bone with Bert Kreischer and my best good friend Adrian Collins.
Oh, Snapdragon. Yes, come out to the Dayton Funny Bone. If you want to party with... me and Jay and this other guy, I don't know if you even heard of him, if you know about him, his name's Bert Kreischer. We'll be there celebrating Bert's birthday on November 3rd. I believe that's the Thursday, or is that the Friday?
That is the Thursday, yes.
The Thursday. Are we sure?
Yes, that's the first night. I'm in Columbus on the 2nd. That's a Wednesday.
All right, well, it's going to be a whole weekend party. It's going to be insane. I'll probably be there Thursday and Friday and Sunday hanging out. Come party with us. We're going to have a blast. And Bert Kreischer is one of the funniest guys in the country.
We're going to be playing the new games on Sunday.
We're going to play one of these games, guys. So if you have any suggestions, send me a message, and I'd love to help craft something. We're trying to take the podcast live, and maybe not right away, but I'd like to be able to create a situation where we're doing something interactive with the people that listen to the show. And thank you guys for listening, and share with your friends. That's the way that this thing builds. It's fun reporting in to you guys, but what's the most awesome part is when somebody says, hey, man, I liked the podcast last week, or when you said this or whatever. That shit melts my heart. So
yeah, or we think it would be awesome.
I mean, it's like it's only happening in my imaginary dreams and stuff like that. But when it does happen, I know my heart's going to be like on fleek melt status with that wet, wet.
Yeah. Fucking A, dude. All right, well, hit me up.
All right, brother.
Rock and roll, puppy help.
Peace out.
Like someone else's dream. Da da da.